Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and on your men servants and your maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth." Did you know that this is God's promise to his people? And in fact, he's been fulfilling this promise for the past 2,000 years. That after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and then he walked the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven, and 10 days after his ascension, a group of his followers, about 120 of them, were assembled in an upper room. Some because of the focus on prayer and seeking the Lord. Others just because they were afraid of what would happen to them in the society that they were in. So they were in this group together, all in one accord. And the Bible says that this was something that Jesus prophesied about to them, to wait for the Holy Spirit, to wait for the empowerment that would enable them to be transformed disciples, not just followers of a religious man, but they would be empowered to actually bring change to the earth. And since the outpouring of the Spirit in that little upper room in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit has been poured out continually for the last 2,000 years. And the promise of the prophet Joel right here that we just read about is the reality of the world in which we live today. And in fact, our life is to be a supernatural life. The disciples went from hiding in an upper room to running out into the streets, telling everyone everywhere about Jesus. There's something amazing that takes place when the Spirit empowers you to do something that you couldn't do on your own. And so today I want to talk to you about the Spirit-empowered life. Look at the person next to you and say, "Spirit-empowered." Did you know that today it's estimated that there are over 600 million Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered Christians living on planet Earth today? What does that mean? It means that the work of God through the power of the Holy Spirit didn't stop with 120 in an upper room in Jerusalem. It means that it didn't stop with the early church in the first and the second century, as some historians would like to say that the work of the Spirit was just dispensational. In other words, there was just one period of time in which God wanted to do something magnificent, and after that, it's just up to you to figure it out because he's not helping you anymore. But friends, I want to encourage you that since the outpouring of the Spirit that Jesus talked about, that the Bible references to many different times, that God has been pouring out his Spirit continually across the face of the earth. And it's not diminishing, it's only increasing. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, "I love increase." In fact, just this last week as I was traveling, I was in Southeast Asia. We went to the country of Singapore, which is surrounded by Malaysia on one side, Indonesia on the other side, right there in the middle of Southeast Asia. And I was meeting with pastors and leaders who have assembled from all different countries, and they were all in Singapore to talk about and to pray and to minister together and to rejoice at the work that God is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit all over the face of the earth. In fact, over 7,000 people gathered together for 4 days of prayer and worship and ministry together just to focus on the power of the Holy Spirit. From the upper room now to the every room in the face of the earth, that God wants to pour out his Spirit, as the Bible says here in Joel, on all flesh. Now, if you're flesh, God wants to pour his Spirit out on you. You can just smile and tell your neighbor, "I think he's talking about you." You know, as I was in these meetings last week, I heard a great report. One of the pastors who lives and works in mainland China, he shared a report how that in the 50s, the communists took over China. And at that time, many of the Christians and many of the educated and wealthy people in China, because of communism, they fled into all different countries throughout Southeast Asia because the communists were trying to restrict. And so they fled for the sake of freedom. But what the communists didn't account for were the Christians who stayed and those who believed what they had been taught, and they just expected God to do something regardless of the government structure that they were in. And they estimate now that there is over 100,000 spirit-filled Christians living in China today. Now, communism may have had its way governmentally, but God is having his way spiritually. That's 1/3 of our country, in case you want to know how many people that is. 100 million. Did I say 100,000? 100 million. Sorry. 100 million Christians. And when I was listening to this man, he said the thing that changed everything was not just the Bible. Because the Bible in itself is good and it's God's word. But he said it's the revelation of what the Bible produces in somebody's life. He said when people in villages in China begin to read the Bible, especially the New Testament, and they read about the early church in the book of Acts, and they saw the outpouring of the Spirit, they begin to ask, why can't this happen in our life? And he said, I would go into villages where they just heard about what happened in the New Testament, and they begin to expect that God could do the same thing there. And he said the result was signs, wonders, and miracles. The result was the same type of things that Peter and John saw, the same type of things that the Apostle Paul saw. He said, we're seeing across China because people simply believe that the Holy Spirit was not contained to Jerusalem, but that God is moving in the earth today. And friends, I want to encourage you that if God can do it in places like that, then God can do it in places like this. That God can do it in your life. That God can pour out his Spirit on your family. That he can pour out his Spirit on your business. That he can pour out his Spirit upon your health and upon all aspects of your life. That the Spirit-empowered life is the life that we were created to live. Six of you believe that. Why is this important for us? It's important for us to understand because we know that God is actually three people in one. It's called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you were sprinkled when you were little and they did this and they said that prayer over you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they said it in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii, whatever it says. I don't know all those words. But I've seen it on movies. The Father, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. I heard one group, just a funny story, I've heard one group say, well, we don't believe that you can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We only believe you can be baptized in Jesus. And there's another group who says, I don't believe you can be baptized in the name of Jesus. You should only be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so somebody asked me, what do you believe? I said, I believe we can be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That includes everybody. Look at your neighbor and said, it's all inclusive. You know, sometimes we try to build up walls to keep people out instead of just building bridges to bring people in. Helping people to understand that this is what we believe. We believe the Bible. And if you read the Bible, then it's very clear upon what God wants to do in and through our lives on a regular basis. This is very important because what you may not realize is that the point of conversion in a person's life, it's actually the Spirit of God that allows you to receive salvation. The scripture says that you can't even receive salvation except the Spirit is nudging you. The Spirit is drawing you. So there's this Holy Spirit that gives birth to the new creation in your life. That's also a work of the Holy Spirit. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except for through the power of the Holy Spirit. However, this understanding that the Spirit leads us into conversion and salvation is a piece of what God wants to do. But friends, I want to encourage you today that there is more in store than just the salvation experience. In addition to God wanting to save you and bless you, what you need to understand is that God also wants to fill you and empower you. You see, it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to be empowered to help others to find Jesus. This is the purpose of Pentecost. This is the purpose of the outpouring of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see this example. It says, and after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall do something. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. This is very important for us to understand the different aspects and facets of God working in and through our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all in Scripture, but sometimes we can accept part and forget the other. When God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh includes you and me. Isn't that right? So there's this filling of the Spirit. It says very clearly, it says, and He will come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You know what that helps us to understand is that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, but God also at different times in our life wants to come upon us. He wants to come upon it. Let me explain it like this. Have you ever been in a worship service and we're singing songs and somehow you feel something different in your life? You ever felt that? Say, man, things just were terrible in my life, but somehow I was just in worship and I felt peace. I felt strength. I felt joy in my life. What is that? That's the Spirit of God upon you. He's coming upon you and He's overtaking the doubt. He's overtaking the fear. He's overtaking the shame. He's overtaking the things that are weighing you down and He's lifting those things off of you. That's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. In the same way, we see it throughout Scripture. And today I want to encourage you with this Spirit-empowered life. You know, some people want to know this question when I talk to them. Why are you so passionate about missions? Why are you so passionate about reaching people locally and globally? The only reason I'm passionate about it is because of the Spirit-empowered life. Because the Bible says in Acts 1:8, just like we heard, that when He comes upon us, we're going to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the only reason I'm passionate about the world is because God loves the world. And the only reason I want to reach the world is because the Holy Spirit comes upon Christians to reach the world. And so when you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and empower you, then you will have faith to do things that you can never do on your own. And friends, I believe that's what God wants to do in every single one of us. That for your business, for your family, as you, you know, parent in your house, as you make decisions for your life, intellect won't get you where God wants to take you. Your intellect and your resource will stop short many times in your life. But the empowerment of the Spirit gives you wisdom that you never had, gives you insight that you couldn't get on your own, helps you to have faith and strength to press through at times when you want to quit or give up. And friends, what I want to encourage you with today is to have a desire for the Spirit in your life. To have a desire to be yielded to the Spirit of God. It doesn't have to be weird or strange. It can simply be God working in your life in new and fresh ways. In the day and age that we live, how important is it for us to be strengthened by the Spirit of God because of all the attacks that are around us? You don't have to go very far to notice that there are a lot of attacks in this world. You don't have to go very far to realize that the enemy is trying to devour, is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, like the Bible says. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. Let me ask you this question. How many of you would like to have a full life? Right? You want to have a full life. Well, the Spirit empowers us to have a full life. In fact, the good news for us is that God's Spirit has been working across the face of the earth since the beginning of creation. In fact, if you look in the beginning of your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. In other words, the Spirit of God has been moving across the earth since the beginning of time. And why that is important for us is to understand that God moving across the earth is not something new. It's something that He desires since creation. He desires to move across the waters of your life, across the areas of your family, across the areas of your intellect and your focus. He desires to move in an amazing way. When Jesus came to the earth and He lived as a man, we know that He illustrated God's will for our lives. Isn't that right? We see this in the fact that as he walked and there was people who were sick, Jesus illustrated God's will and desire to heal them. In fact, one instance, there was a man who had a withered hand, and he looked up at Jesus and said, "If you're willing, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I'm willing. Be whole." And instantly the man was healed. So Jesus illustrated, he was the personification of God's desire and will in the earth for us. And as Jesus walked the earth, he shared a few things about who the Holy Spirit was and what he wanted to do. Through the life of Jesus, we learn a couple things. Let me share the first thing with you. What we learn about the Holy Spirit through Jesus is, number one, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. John 14:6 says that the comforter, the helper, will abide with you forever. How many of you have ever needed comfort in your life? You ever needed comfort? Sure you have. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The second thing that Jesus illustrated is not only is he our comforter, but he is our teacher. The scripture says in John 14:26, it says that he will teach you and guide you and show you things to come. So if you've ever needed to learn something that you didn't already know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, he can teach you that. He can teach you how to be that husband, even though you didn't have a good example in your house. He can teach you how to be a good wife. He can teach you how to be a good employee. He can teach you how to be better in all areas of your life. He is the master teacher. So he comforts us and he teaches us. And the other thing that Jesus illustrated about the person of the Holy Spirit is that he's the guide. The scripture says in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 13, that the Spirit of truth will guide you and lead you, show you things to come. If you've ever worried or wondered what's your future look like, you can have confidence to know that the Holy Spirit can be your guide. The Holy Spirit can lead you. You say, well, I've gone through tragedy and heartache and I've gone through difficulty. What am I going to do? Well, the best and most important thing you can do is rely on the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to lead you. Allow him to help you make your decisions. Allow him to help you to lead your family. Allow him to help you to run that business. Allow him to help you in your everyday life. You see, if we contain the move of God and the Spirit of God and the worship of God to a place that we attend on Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes, then it won't be enough. If you contain your spiritual experience to what somebody else preaches over you or what somebody else sings over you, then when you get back to your house and back to your job, it's not going to be enough. This is why the Holy Spirit was poured out on regular, everyday people so that they could take the empowerment of the Spirit and they could go into everyday life. They could go into the marketplace, they could go into the schools, they could go into the education and the government sectors of society, and they could be Spirit-empowered in their everyday life. So friends, this is not something that is just confined to a place or a person. This is for all of us as followers of Jesus. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, I think he's talking about you. Listen to this. Regarding the Holy Spirit's arrival to the earth in a personal way, Jesus said this. It's recorded in Luke 24 and verse 49. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, until you are endued with power from on high. Everybody say power. Did you know that power is important? Just pick out your cell phone. Power is important. And when the power goes low, it's important that you get recharged. Isn't that right? Because if you don't get recharged, then that thing will shut off. In fact, because the power is so important, I carry one of these things with me. You know what that is? That's a power bank. And when the charge from the night before is not enough to sustain my power for the entirety of the day or a long trip, then I pull out the power bank. And I push the button, and hopefully that the power bank is charged. And then I plug it in, and what happens is it recharges the battery. If you want to simply know how does the Holy Spirit work in your life, it's like a power bank. You can come into the presence of God, and you can get charged up. You can read the Word of God, and you can get charged up. But then somewhere in the middle of your day, usually in the afternoon or maybe late at night, you start feeling the power running dry. At the end of your week or at the end of a year, you start feeling the power is waning and running dry. And what the Holy Spirit does is he charges you back up. The Holy Spirit supplies you in areas that you don't even know you have a need, but he supplies you with power, and then you recognize, wow, God just strengthened me in that moment. God just filled me in that moment. I had wisdom in that meeting that I couldn't get anywhere else. I'm telling you, friends, I have seen it work. I remember one time Sarah's father, who is my pastor, who's now gone on to be with Jesus. One time we were in a meeting at church, and he was talking about some decisions that we need to make in this board meeting. And he just stopped for a moment. He said, you know what? I don't think we have the wisdom that we need right now for this decision. I think we just need to stop and we need to pray. And so we all stopped and we prayed, and he went out of the room. He went out of the room and he just prayed and interceded. And he came back in. He said, okay, I got the solution. In a matter of just a few minutes, I'm thinking, where did he go to get the solution? This is even before Google. I mean, come on. It's like in the 90s. We didn't even have Google on our phones. It didn't even exist. He came back in. He said, I just believe this is what God is speaking to us. And later on, I asked him, I said, well, what was that all about? He said, well, the Holy Spirit shows us and teaches us things to come. He said, I didn't know exactly what to do in the natural. He said, but when we just take time, we pray, we tap in to the Spirit of God, God gives us revelation. And we get that revelation. He said, I got the revelation. I knew exactly what we were supposed to do. Friends, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit charges you up. You get a power source that you couldn't get anywhere else. You get revelation, insight, wisdom. You get direction for your life. You say, well, how do I know that's the right thing to do? The Spirit of God just showed me. The Spirit of God just spoke it to me. This is the Spirit-empowered life. This is how God wants to lead you on an everyday basis. This is how God wants to lead you with purchases and with decisions and with acquisitions and with business dealings. This is how God wants to lead you. And it doesn't have to be weird or strange. Other people may not understand it, but if you have to, just step out of the room for a moment and say, God, what do you want me to do in this moment? You just begin to pray. You begin to intercede. And then you wait for the peace and the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you let him lead you. Don't be led by circumstances. Be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, that's why the Bible says when Jesus was talking, he said, look, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Following God is much easier when you are empowered and led by the Spirit of God. Let me just say it like this. The Holy Spirit brings the super to your natural and produces supernatural power. Just listen to this account in Acts chapter 2 if you're still wondering or skeptical about how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. It says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was a celebration of the Jews at that time, and it was around the Feast of Pentecost, which actually is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we call it the Day of Pentecost, because it was a Jewish festival, but now the followers of Christ are gathered together in one accord, as the Bible says. They were in one accord in one place, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. That's important for us to understand, because that means that God still works in the here and the now. That he isn't going to wait 15 years for you to get an outpouring of the Spirit in your life, that God can move in your life today. Suddenly. It says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. They didn't understand it. They didn't know where it was, you know, what was going on. It says it appeared like a rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then it appeared to them. They aren't sure what it was, but it said it appeared to them as tongues of fire. And one sat on each of them. This is important to understand that God wants to move corporately, but also individually. It appeared to them as something was happening in the group. But then the writer of this says, but it's like something sat on each of them. So they had an individual experience with the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that's very important for you? That when you come into church, we have a corporate experience. But the power of the corporate experience is only impactful when you get it individually. Because you go back to your house, we don't. You go back to your job, we don't. But if you're in that corporate setting, many times you can have an individual experience with the person of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and in the presence of God that changes you forever. And that's what we see here in this story. And it said after that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we have this reference again, and they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit, listen, it's the move of the Spirit that gave them utterance. The Bible tells us this story. We're not exactly what it looks like, but the description says that it appeared like some sort of fire on each of them. And some began speaking in a known language, others speaking in an unknown language. But the definite reality was something changed. Look at somebody next to say, something was different. It was something they hadn't seen before, something they couldn't accurately clarify what was happening. So they just did their best to say it looked like this, it looked like this, it appeared like this, it felt like this. We aren't sure exactly what it was, but we know it was God. And friends, when God moves upon your life, sometimes your neighbor doesn't understand. Sometimes your family, they aren't always going to be in agreement because they didn't experience the same thing that you experienced. But I can honestly tell you this, that whenever I've had a personal encounter with God through the person of the Holy Spirit, I know it was real. It is, and it's going to be too late for you to try to talk me out of it because I already experienced it. Right? One of my mentors, who I used to read a lot of books about, heard him preach, T.L. Osborne, who was a great missionary evangelist. He said, if I could just get to the villages first, before the religious people, everybody will believe what the Bible says. The religious people will try to dumb it down and make it just knowledge. But he said, true followers of Christ just want to believe the Bible. And he said, once a person experiences the power of God, it'll be too late for anyone to try to talk them out of it. And friends, that's what we need to desire on a regular basis. Whether your intellect agrees or not, you can open up your heart and say, God, help me to understand. Help me to experience the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. What we do know is after this powerful experience in an upper room with only 120 people, the question I ask is, what is the result? What is the result of that empowerment? Did something happen? And here's the result. After that 120 were empowered by the Spirit, I mean, you can argue with philosophy and doctrine, but it's hard to argue with results. So the result of that was those 120 ran out into the streets. The Bible says just a few days later, on one account, 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. That when Peter preached to them, come on, that's something to clap about. They went from 12 minus 1, that's 11, because Judas didn't make the cut. They went from that to 120, and then in a week's time, they went from 120 to 3,000 people because Peter got up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, in one instance, 3,000 people got saved. Now, that's a miracle in itself. A few days later, the same type of thing happened, and 5,000 more got saved in another account. So in a matter of probably just a week or 2 weeks, the church grew from 120 to over 8,000 people. If you want to argue with results, those are pretty good results. You see, the Spirit empowers us to do something, and that is to be a witness and help people to know who Jesus is. And all throughout Scripture, it's interesting as we look at this to know that the Spirit-empowered life is a supernatural life. If you don't remember anything else about the message today, remember this. A Spirit-empowered life is a supernatural life. You want to talk about Superman and Wonder Woman? They don't have anything on the Spirit-empowered life. That's fictional, but God wants it to be reality. God wants to empower you in your everyday life. God wants to empower you with a purpose so that you can make a difference in this life. I remember one time, just to give you some personal context and experience, I remember this is several years ago, I was in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. It was in a meeting, a church service, several thousand people there. And after the time of worship and ministry, I went out and I was just praying for a guy in the crowd. He lifted his hand. He said, I need a miracle in my life. I asked him what the miracle was that he needed. And he said, I have a tumor on my arm. And I could see he had this big bump on the side of his arm. He said that the doctors told me I have a cancerous tumor on my arm and I'm believing for a miracle. So I remember just praying a simple prayer for him. And at the end of that prayer, the guy starts screaming. And I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? My Spanish was bad or something? Like, oh, listen, perdóname, señor, por favor. Ayúdame. So right in that moment, that's about the best Spanish I have. So right in that moment, the guy starts screaming and he starts grabbing his arm. And then all of a sudden he starts telling me. And now I start to understand that he was healed. And he looked at his arm and he said, the tumor's gone. Right there in that moment, there was a supernatural miracle that took place. And the guy was instantly healed. I didn't do it. God did it. I just was there to be used by God. And friends, God can use us in our everyday life. Another time, I remember I was in a service here in the U.S., just in a church. I wasn't preaching in the service. I wasn't on the front row of the service. I was just in the audience, just like you. I was just in the service. And then at the end of the service, the preacher said, okay, if you need a miracle, just lift up your hand. And somebody around you is just going to pray and agree with you. God can touch you right where you are. And there was a guy I was seated next to. He had a terrible back pain. He was an older gentleman, had terrible back pain. And he told me the problem, and I prayed for him. And right after the prayer was over, the guy, he looks at me, and he starts feeling his back. He starts bending over. He says, okay, it's all better. I said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He said, man, it was in terrible pain, but right after you prayed, God instantly healed me. He said, it feels so much better. Friends, I want to encourage you that there is power that God has given us and authority that he has given us through his word and by his spirit so that we can see supernatural things take place in our everyday life. If you want to know what the spirit-empowered life is all about, the spirit-empowered life is a supernatural life. And those are just two stories. I've probably seen hundreds of stories over the last 20 years. From the first time that I ever preached in 1995 in a village in West Africa until, you know, just last week when I was preaching in Hong Kong, I have seen God do such amazing things. And what I understand is that it's not through a person or because of a place. It's not because of the song. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That this is who the Holy Spirit is. In fact, my goal today is simple, and it is this: to build your faith and to increase your expectation for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Those are two things. Those are the goals that I wrote out. I said, God, I want to build their faith, and I want to increase their expectation. Does that mean you're going to understand everything? Probably not. Does that mean that you're going to know everything about how God wants to move in your life? Maybe not. But if you just learn a little bit more, you take one more step, and you build an increase in your faith, an increase in your expectation, what I've found is God works in amazing ways. And that's my prayer today, is that God would build your faith. In fact, Jesus, when he talked about the work of the Holy Spirit, he equated it to rivers of living water. He said, you're coming to me for water. He said, look, there's water that you don't even know about. In fact, that there's the Spirit. He's going to fill you with rivers of living water. He said, it's not poured out yet, because he was still alive. But he said, it is coming, referencing to the power of the Spirit that was coming in the future. And now we know that it has come. Here's the reality. God's will is for every believer to be filled with his Spirit. If you want to know and follow God's will, how many of you want to know and follow God's will? Here's God's will. His will is to fill you with his Spirit. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians, and he said, don't be unwise as some would suppose. Don't be drunk on wine, which leads to terrible things or debauchery, the scripture says. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you can be filled with so many things that would lead you astray. But the most important thing was not about whether you should drink or not drink. What he was trying to reference here was be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead you. Allow the Spirit to guide you and strengthen you. And that's really what Jesus was talking about. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, okay, Pastor, that's great. I get more understanding about this, but how do I receive a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit for my life? How is it possible? And here's how it's possible. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. What a great pathway to power in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit when we ask, God, I'm asking you to pour out your Spirit upon me. When we seek and say, God, I'm seeking you. I need your help. I need your wisdom. When we knock and say, I don't know what to do, but Lord, I'm knocking on this door and I'm praying, Holy Spirit, you're going to show me what to do. There is protection that's promised through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's wisdom, guidance, comfort, understanding, all that comes through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you're here today and you're saying, well, how can I receive this outpouring for my life? There's three simple things that we can do. Number one, allow the barriers to be removed in your life. Whatever barriers that may be up keeping you from experiencing the power of the Spirit, remove those barriers. Just like we saw in the book of Acts when Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and be filled with the Spirit. When they did, the barrier was removed and the power was poured out. The second thing that you can do is request a touch from God. Maybe you've been in a place and you've been watching, but you've not been requesting. Maybe you've never just simply said in your own personal way, God, I'm requesting a touch from you. I'm requesting that you would do something in my heart and in my life. And the last and most important thing is when you live that way and you ask those questions, you receive it by faith. You say, God, thank you for filling me with your Spirit. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit. Thank you for leading me by your Spirit. Thank you that I am not just empowered, but that I am led. Thank you that I'm not just filled, but that I am overflowing with the power that you want to give me to live a supernatural life. What I can promise you is this: there's refreshing that comes to your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me as we have a time of prayer and ministry together? And this is what I'm praying for you today. You're here and maybe it's been quite a few years since you've experienced God's Spirit in your life. Maybe you've never experienced something supernatural, but as you hear the stories today, there's a desire on the inside of you that's saying, wow, I want that. I've never experienced it, but I want that. Wherever you find yourself, maybe a Christian for 40 years or maybe a Christian for 40 minutes, but you're in a place and you're saying, I have a desire for the Spirit of God to move in my life in a new and a fresh way. Think about the example that Jesus gave of those rivers of living water. You know what that means? That means there may be seasons where you're dry. There may be seasons where I almost feel like you've been walking in a desert. But the rivers of living water change everything. The rivers of living water come into your marriage and breathe new life. The rivers of living water transform things in your mind that you can't get past. The rivers of living water resurrect things on the inside that have been dead for years. The rivers of living water help you to understand God in ways that you have only seen in other people. That's the river of the Holy Spirit. But there has to be an initiation, a desire on your part. Those upper room followers of Jesus were there gathered together. They had a desire. God, we're waiting and we can't do anything until you do something. And the result was God poured out his Spirit upon them. Right now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed all over this place, I want to ask you a question today. How many of you here desire a fresh outpouring or a new outpouring in your life in a real and tangible way from the Holy Spirit? Maybe every single one of you that's here today, if that's your desire, I want you to lift your hand all over this place. If that's your desire, lift it up all over this place.